Today's Data for Good podcast was about data project scoping. We had on Zane Blanton. He's the Applied Sciences Manager at Zalando. Of course, Zalando are the online fashion retailer across Europe based in Berlin. And in data project scoping, we gave a pretty clear breakdown of the factors that you need to consider if you want to get your project scope approved as a data leader, and also if you, a data professional, want to put your ideas forward, there's some pretty clear steps, hopefully to encourage you to do so. Enjoy the podcast. What's the biggest mistake that data project leaders make when scoping their data projects?
I think for me, it's got to be you're just asking for something magical in data projects, especially in data science. Like, management comes in, and especially with AI and all this hype now, everybody thinks you can, you know, wave the magic wand, build the magic box that will just, you know, can optimize everything in the business or make the perfect recommendation, and they don't take into account, I guess, you know, like, what's the current state of the art? What data do we have? Etc. Things like that.
So is that the mistake of the data leader for not managing expectations?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, I think oftentimes, I mean, where do these asks come from? They probably come from somebody in the business, right? Like senior leadership, and you know, you can't really expect them to know exactly, I don't know, the ins and outs of all the models that you can apply, and I don't like all the papers and things like that. So I think really it's up to, I guess, the data people farther down to kind of take this the input from senior leadership or propose projects that are doable and will drive some value for the business.
Cool. Okay. So we've gone right into it. Today's topic is about scoping out data projects. Who are the immediate stakeholders that this session, this podcast is going to be relevant to?
Yeah, so I think for me, I kind of want to speak on my own about my own experience here, which is, as I guess, I was working as a data scientist for maybe around, let's say, 6-7 years, and then I've been in management now for, it's coming up on 3.5 years. So that's kind of my perspective, I guess, as somebody who gets, you know, projects kind of proposed to them. And now as somebody who, I guess, is like one level above and is still getting projects that are pushed to them, but has a little bit more control over, you know, which projects you do, how they get defined, which ones you decline to take. So that's the perspective I wanted to take.
Mm-hmm. Okay, super. So it's about data leaders and project leaders, and it's going to also impact, I would assume, data teams who have to deliver the project.
Yeah, that's right. I think especially for me, I'm thinking more about maybe used to call it data science. Now you may call it AI, but these big machine learning, these big types of projects where it's not just, you know, get some data, make a dashboard, but there's some sort of magic algorithm going on in between that's supposed to drive some value for the business. And that's where it gets tricky.
Magic algorithm.
Yeah. The DM stands for in ML. Magical learning.
I like it. It might seem obvious given what you've just said, but for those who don't know you in the Berlin data community, why is this topic of project scoping an important one for you?
Yeah, I think it's because, yeah, my career, I guess, as an individual contributor, I would say that not maybe half the projects that I've worked on have been, I don't know, positioned for success. And then the other half of them, sometimes it's just the parameters were too broad. And I mean, I don't want to call anything out, although I guess this is my platform. But yeah, I guess when I moved into management, this is one of the things I wanted to do, is just to make sure that there's like a reasonable probability of success for all the projects that got passed to the team. And you don't end up in a situation where something, you know, over promising and under delivering, that's never a good place to be in.
In businesses, we've been delivering projects for decades, I wonder if there are any misconceptions about scoping data projects specifically. You know, do people wrongly believe that it's the same as scoping a software project or a manufacturing project?
I don't know much about scoping manufacturing projects, but I guess for software projects, I guess the main difference is that maybe there's more uncertainty about how this core algorithm is going to perform. I guess for most software systems, I think most people have a decent idea that, you know, if you want to receive data at this rate and you want to receive data and transform it and present it, usually we can do that. But then for a data question, it might be, oh, I don't know, you want to get some risk models on your customers before you offer them deferred payment. That's something we do at Zalando. Then it's a little bit less clear how well, like, I guess if you're in risk, you know you can do it, but it's the deliverable is a little bit more technical, I guess, because you need to go out and gather this data and validate it, and somehow there's changing conditions and there's more inputs to it. I guess the Well, I guess the bit, at least at Zalando, I think the central challenge sometimes of the software side of the business is scale. You need to be able to process a lot of orders on the website and store a bunch of items and things like that. And these are all things, I guess, that all software engineers agree can be done. You just have to execute them properly and execute them efficiently. But then on the data side of things, then yeah, you have questions like, can you recommend the best item for this customer or figure out their size, their somehow they're gnarlier questions, and so there's some research involved.
I wonder if those gnarly questions get any easier as we learn more about delivering data projects.
Yeah, I mean, I think I mean, I hope that everybody who's in some kind of data leadership role tries to, like, I don't know, either look at conferences or on Twitter or things like that and keep track of how the state of the art is changing, because there's new things we can do all the time. And I think capabilities are expanding all the time. And there's things that you couldn't have done maybe 10 years ago or 20 years ago. There's this famous XKCD comic about how hard it would be to, I don't know, identify birds from a photo. And I think that came out maybe 15 years ago or something. And now it actually is quite easy. So I think we learn how to do these things, and as they become codified, probably AI and data just become part of normal software engineering, because there's not really a question about how to do it, because you know you can do it. It's just the engineering aspect of it, which is doing it properly.
Okay. And a bit more context for people who are listening and watching. You've mentioned your employer, Zalando, and large online fashion retailer. And Berlin is also a city of tech startups. So I'm wondering, for data professionals listening, does data project scoping, does it differ greatly from startup to corporate or large business?
Yeah, I mean, I guess my thinking or my experience has been, so I was at like a cancer startup, I think, for a year, which was quite exciting, and things move very fast. And now at Zalando, I'm part of a new initiative. I probably can't speak on it. It's kind of exciting, right? And the big difference is you need to align a lot of different parts of the business, because you have It's not just, you know, one person and, I don't know, the finance department you need to talk to. There's a team, and we're operating in multiple countries, and there's a lot of volume, and so there's more risk. So I think there's just a lot more people you have to get on board and a lot more project management you have to do at a larger organization. But then on the flip side, I think at a larger organization, if you can make a 1% or 0.5% impact on Zalando's revenue, that's great. I mean, everybody would be thrilled, right? And maybe at a startup, it doesn't matter. Like 0.5% on, you know, one sale is not good. You need 1,000%, basically, and you need that year on year.
But the impact that you're likely to make in a smaller big business is bigger, thus they might balance each other out. Getting stakeholders on board, which leads me also to what do data professionals need to do to get their data projects approved? Is there a criteria that they you would recommend that they work towards when trying to get any data project approved?
Let me see here. So, what's the big one? Everybody wants to know the business impact, right? So I think unless you can think about at the very beginning of the project, everybody should already think about what's the money that we can save, either by increasing conversion, reducing fraud, decreasing churn, things like that. So have the KPIs ready at the very beginning because, it's like in a business, nobody really should care that much unless you can prove some business value. I would say most of the time. But that's it. I mean, I guess aside, maybe if you are some company, I don't know whose core product is AI related, then maybe you can say, look, it's a feature we're building what the customers want. We don't have KPIs. Like you're like a translation company like DeepL, then you're doing the AI there. It's not about increasing conversion. It's just we're building the product. But for the most part, I think a lot of data science projects are just about, optimizing a business process. So having that
Yeah.
laid out.
So business impact, it can be about costs and profit, but it might also be in a different direction, that is product development.
Yeah,
Okay.
exactly. So like have a strong case there about how, you can measure this and what it's going to and how it's gonna be good for the business. Yeah. So you can allocate resources. There's that technical feasibility, which I think is kind of I guess this is up to the manager and then any of your principals there. You need to look at, I guess, the problem and be like, how solved of a problem is this? Is it something that maybe a couple of PhDs have done at some top universities, and we're going to have to try to, read a paper and implement some code, and how hard is that going to be? Or is this something, there's a lot of blog posts and people have already kind of paved the way, and there's a bunch of packages that can do this quite easily already. So sort of a spectrum there.
Okay. So majorly, we've got business impact. This is a consideration if you want to get your data project approved. What are the factors?
Then I think maybe operational cost is a big one too, because it's expensive to maintain these machine learning models sometimes, or AI models, because you have changing business conditions. So maybe you at least have to retrain it, or the data decays, or the patterns in the data change. So you need to come up with new signals. And oftentimes also you might have some manual QA work that goes alongside of it. So I don't know if you're
So,
labeling
but
image.
sorry, carry on.
Oh, no,
Go
no
for
worries.
it.
Yeah, I mean, manual QA. I mean, it could be something, you're labeling images or looking at text and seeing if you like the text that's being generated, or I don't know, having people screening for fraud by hand, things of that nature.
Yeah, so in operational costs, account for those costs and budget or project for those costs. Okay, so. Costing, impact, any other factors that data professionals should consider?
Oh, there was the technical feasibility. So like, yeah, can we do it
Oh, yeah.
as well? Yeah. And then I think that's maybe regulatory also. This is something, I guess, especially some things that you can do with AI doesn't mean you should do them with AI. You just have to make sure that you're applying your models in a responsible way, in an ethical way.
So the budgeting, the impact, and technical feasibility would be part of your research. Do you want to tell me more about perhaps the investigation and research criteria that goes into you generating a scope for your project?
I mean, I think the first thing is always one of these business analysts like analyses, right? You're trying to like grab some data and figure out, okay, like what is it? If you want to I don't know, improve conversion in some particular or like improve pricing, let's say, then you have to be like, okay, like here's the conversion rate we have now. If we improve pricing by this much, then we think we could improve, then we could drive this much more business at this much, and make this much money. So something of that nature, right? You're just kind of getting ballpark numbers. Like, what's the size of the problem you can address? Realistically, how much better do we think we could make it? And then you're just kind of, figuring out some idea of what the cost would be. And if it looks like, the benefits are much outweighing the cost, then you can start feeling kind of confident that, we'll get something out of this project. Because probably one of the worst fates for an ML project is when you spend, I don't know, half a year or a year working on something and it works, but it just doesn't work well enough to put it in production. It's because the maintenance cost is too high. We're going to go with the system, the basic system that was there before. So.
And that's a major frustration for ML engineers and data scientists. Having worked on a project and not being able to put it into production because, you don't get that satisfaction. You don't get it on your CV. That's what I see it the most. Candidates talk about these projects and massive frustration from not being able to talk about the end results and the impact that that had on the business. Yeah, understood. All right. Stakeholders that are involved in the approval process, is that what I would might imagine from any business scoping project scoping process?
Usually have like some important people from product. Maybe you have some important people from engineering who are thinking about, where are we able to integrate this decision? Like, where can, because oftentimes we have constraints about how fast we can get data or which systems can give us data. So you're getting them in the room. And then there's the, I guess maybe any higher ups you have on the data science chain also, you have to kind of convince them as well. So sort of, I guess it's tech and business really. But in particular, yeah, engineering is sort of like beside you, and they're helping you out, but also having some more constraints on top of the problem as well.
Okay, cool. So we've got the people and we've got the factors that go into putting the scope together. Could you now talk us through the steps? Talk us through the steps of the process.
Yeah, sure. Steps of the process. Yeah, so I mean, I guess kind of depends on the company, right? I mean, it like how formal everything is. I mean, I guess at a startup, just an idea could be talked about, around the water cooler, so to speak, and then all of a sudden, kind of it develops, it gets passed around to some people, and all of a sudden, people are working on it in the next sprint, right? Without much, maybe there's not too much of a roadmap, but I guess at most companies, there's some sort of either a yearly or a quarterly planning process, so. Before anything is going to be taken into your quarterly planning, like you have to kind of convince whoever, the people in charge of the planning that this is like a good use of the resources compared to whatever else they're going to do. So I guess that's the first step.
Okay.
Gather the
We'll go back
ideas of
to
some sort.
wait there 1 minute. Sorry. You mentioned the first step there, quite casually thrown in idea generation, often happening around water cooler chat, and then next thing you know, it's coming to life. How's it typically done, idea generation? If not, brainstorming workshop.
So that's one thing, I guess, is you can always like schedule in some time at the company and just get whoever is kind of involved with some process to come together and give some ideas on how it could be improved. I think for example, if you have people that are doing some manual operations, like intaking some data and they're having to categorize it, maybe they could tell you, like, okay, if we had this tool, it would help us out, or we're seeing these problems in the process. Sometimes hackathons are good too, right? You can get if sometimes also I think that people working on these problems, like data scientists or software engineers, there's something they really want to try, but it's it's like it's going to take quite a bit of effort to get this product out. So if you have a hackathon, people can look at it, people can get excited about it, and you can kind of validate if it's getting some traction or not.
Do you know, hackathons are it's the invite for data scientists and engineers to work on something that they've been excited about. It's the invite. How else can we motivate analysts, engineers, scientists, or anyone in between to bring more ideas to the table that might reach project delivery, or at the very least, project scoping.
Yeah, I mean, I think people need to be embedded or need to be involved in some kind of a community, because I think the bigger, the more people you can talk to, then the more ideas you can get. So I think they somehow there's, especially in Berlin, I mean, I know that we were doing some sort of refund fraud analysis, and there's people at Wayfair and Amazon that are also doing something similar. So even in like a very specific, even in a very specific area, you can find people to talk shop with. So I think that's important, because it's, are the ideas really original, or is it just, I heard somebody else was doing this, let's try this, or they're applying it to a similar business problem. Maybe it's not quite our use case, but we could try something. So I think that's important, just to have ideas hitting, like swirling around, so that we can, pick some of them to work on.
How would you encourage a data scientist who's watching this now to go to their leadership or upper hierarchy with their ideas to get it project scoped?
Yeah, it's hard, right? I mean, especially senior leaders, it's hard to get some time with them. One thing you could always do, I guess, everybody at least has a manager that's going to have some time for one-on-one, so you can always chat about it. You can always chat about it there. Yeah, and I guess the other thing is, you probably have a product person nearby you also that is helping you out with this. So if you can talk with your product person, you can get a little time with them, and they can see if they can help you shape up this idea and somehow get it into the, whatever the planning process is, where it can start to be worked on.
Okay, great. So to push data people to put their ideas forward, hackathons, get your company to launch a hackathon, get embedded in a data community where you can share ideas and listen to other companies or other data people's ideas, your one-on-ones with your manager, get them to listen. And then if you do have ideas and you want to get them kind of sense checked, always good to do with your product stakeholders. How could we make data project scoping better? How could we make it easier and maybe not more people to be involved, but more people to have a crack at getting their projects launched? By the way, you've given us some good ideas already, but I want to push you further.
To be honest, I think a lot of times there's not really a, if there is like a formal intake process, or I don't think it usually comes, people, a lot of data scientists maybe have the formula for how they can get these things into kind of the roadmap for the organization. So maybe that's something, is just letting, kind of reaching out and letting everybody know. It's like, look, we're always interested to hear about project ideas. Maybe, you can, like, maybe there's like a pitch session you can schedule, or, have some place at your demos, or whatever your all hands are, just to allow people to get up and talk about these things. So just kind of embedding that, and I think as part of a culture, and just letting everyone know they can. We want to hear ideas coming from the bottom and not just coming from the top, which is, yeah, I think what we're talking about here.
It is. It sounds like we've got an idea for you being a leader.
I'm thinking that too. Yeah, I
You're gonna
kind
have
of
a
know
lot
the
of
ideas
knocks
at
on your
least.
door right now.
What else? Yeah, what else would make it easier? Yeah, that's really,
Is
and I
there a
haven't been in upper management yet. And so actually, that's, I think maybe if I ever make it there, it'll be easier for me to understand like why it's hard to get input from people who are, more at the ground floor, and get their ideas.
All right, sounds good. Sounds good. A final piece of advice. I'm also conscious of time. A final piece of advice for the data community about data project scoping may be something around educating stakeholders and managing expectations across the business. What's your kind of final thought for the data community?
I think it's our job to demystify the magic box or the magic algorithm, because at the end of the day, I think you have to be able to explain the data that is being fed to whatever product you're building and how it's helping to make this decision, and give an intuition to, I think, higher management about why this works. And then I think it becomes a little bit more clear. It's like, if we're, I don't know, like if we're building a fraud model, it needs signals, and these are the kinds of signals we need to give it. And once they can understand that, I think it's easier to scope it out, because we understand what this intuitively what this thing is you're trying to build. We understand what we need to provide to it and what it can provide out to us. And I think unless people have the intuition of how the magic algorithm works, it can be very hard to discuss the business impact.
Okay, super, super. I really appreciate that. I can tell that I've racked your brain.
Was it that obvious?
Thank
Yeah,
you.
like a little bit of like a vein bulge in my forehead.
All right, cool. Zane, we'll finish up. I really want to thank you for sharing your ideas today. And I ask if people want to find out more about you and your team, or is there anything going on across your team right now that might be interesting for the data community to hear about?
Sure. We're recruiting right now for a variety of roles. Specifically, I think we need an analyst, actually, a product or a data analyst, among an ML engineer, applied scientist, all kinds of things. But yeah, you can find these roles and other roles on the jobs page for Zalando. I think it's jobs.zalando.net, something like that.
I'm sure it's a Google search, but okay, so Zalando's hiring across data and across your team right now. Great, great to hear. Okay, unless there's anything more, I shall leave it there.
Cool. Yeah. No. Yeah. Thanks so much for the interview, Joseph. And it's great talking with you. And yeah, hope to see you at one of your meetups soon.